Verse 9 says, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So tonight what we're going to do, if you want to get out a pew Bible or if you want to just put your finger there to go later, we're going to go to page 732. Probably 733 more like it in just a little bit. But first, I want to get over this. I want to get this out of the way, but I think that we need to know who our adversary is, because the devil has been given a lot of credit that he doesn't deserve and a lot of value that he really doesn't have and a lot of authority that he doesn't have. So let me just quickly describe the how, why, and when Satan fell from heaven, okay? Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, and Ezekiel 28, 12 through 18. Those are the scriptures where you're going to find most of the description of what happened. So what we do know is this. We know that the angels were created before the earth. We know that from Job 38. And we know that Satan had already fallen before he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. And we know that from Genesis 3, 1 through 14. So he's already fallen. We don't know exactly when, but we know that the time frame was on that. But somewhere in there, he fell. And the book of Job tells us, at least at that time, that Satan still had access to heaven. And we know that because he had to go to God and ask for permission to tempt Job and to try him. Because he's like, hey, let me get at him. You know, you got your hedge of protection around. Let me in there, and I'll show you if he really cares about you. And I want to give you just a word tonight on that. Whenever the enemy comes in and tells you that he can do something in your life, you just remember that you're nothing more but a magnifier to lift the name of the Lord, and he's going to go down in flames when you'll keep that viewpoint. And if you can't do anything else but this, just turn on praise music and go to sleep so you can shut your mind down. Do it. Because I'm telling you, I believe that singing and even the silent psalms sung will send Satan screaming. I just believe that'll happen. So he can't stand praise. And so don't let him get ahead of you there. So some people say that God has discontinued access for Satan to heaven once Jesus was raised from the dead. And other people believe that Satan's access is still in heaven and it's only going to be ended at the time when Jesus returns and he's cast down. Now, I'm sharing these things not to get you unfocused, but so you realize everything that has to do with the enemy has to come from God. He's limited, okay? And Satan fell because of pride. He wanted to be God. He didn't want to be a servant of God. And in that passage in Isaiah 14, you're going to see, and in Ezekiel 28, there's so many times where he says, I will, I will, I will, I will. So we know that that's pride. And we know that he thought that he had the equivalent from God when really all his power came from God. So Satan was likeliest the highest of the angels. And he was an anointed cherub. We know from the scripture that he was the most beautiful of all God's creations. But he was not content. He wanted basically to kick God off the throne and for people to worship him. And so today, before you think too highly of yourself, like, you know, man, the devil's really on me. Don't think highly of yourself. He's really just out to notch you on his belt, because his goal is to prove to God that he can sway more people to him, and that by his works, people will follow him and not follow God. It's a battle between him and God. You're just the pawn. You're just the thing to throw around. But God's made provision for you. I want to make these points clear. Jesus is not the opposite of Satan. Michael, the archangel, would more or less be like the opposite of Satan for what he was in heaven. Jesus is the express image of the person of God. So he is what we see representative of God, and we know that Jesus was from the beginning the Son of God. We know this. So in Hebrews 1, 4 through 5, we know he said that he was made better than the angels, Jesus, and he had an inheritance obtained a more excellent way than all the angels. For unto which the angel said to he at this time, Thou art my son, this day I've begotten thee. That's all King James. So we know from 2 Corinthians 4, 4, that he is not God of the earth, okay? Because we know that the earth belongs to God. The word says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So Satan is the ruler of the airwaves. He's the ruler of the world systems. But he does not, while he is running the things that are happening on earth, the earth belongs to the Lord. That's why if the Lord says wind, I think it's Proverbs 40 or Proverbs 41, 1 that says, you know, the Lord turns the king's hearts the way he turns the waters, and his praise will go forth just as the waters cover the sea. So we know, I want you to just be careful, because sometimes I believe a lot of power has been given to Satan and it's not true. And we're going to look in a little bit at Ephesians 6, 11, and 12. And you're going to see that his position is so exalted that even Michael the archangel is not even going to insult the enemy because of the position he had. So 3 points I want to make real quick for those of you who have to deal with people in your family that are religious people and they come from what we call cults, okay? And the reason we define them as cults is because they'll take a portion of truth and add to it. And we don't believe that we add to get to heaven. We believe that Jesus is the way, okay? So the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to teach us that Jesus Christ was Michael the archangel. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses teach, because they don't want to recognize the deity of Jesus, okay? And while we're studying, we're going to find out, you already know that he was made higher than the angels. But again, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't get into an argument with a Jehovah's Witness. Nobody, I don't believe, is ever going to be saved just by knowledge alone. Unless they're reading and they're hungry for the Word. But I don't believe you and I are ever going to win anybody in a word battle. And these people are trained that the more they can confuse you, the more it feeds them to keep going. It's just a motivation. So don't get caught up in these word wars with them. And the second thing I wanted you to know is the Mormons, they try to make Jesus a cherub. And they actually teach that he's the brother of Lucifer. And they teach that in heaven, there was an argument when God said, hey, both of you, give me an idea on how to redeem people back to me. And so Satan came up with one idea, and Jesus came up with one. And God liked Jesus's better, and Satan got mad, and that's what happened. It's not true. That's not in the Bible. And so he's not the good angel, and Lucifer's not the bad angel, okay? Or the good brother, and Lucifer's the bad brother. Jesus is the Son of God. He's a part of the Trinity, okay? And they're totally different things. God is self-existent, and he's eternal. He's the creator. The enemy, Satan, was a created creature by the creator. So there's a big difference. Don't give him all that power. And the third thing that I see was when the angel was sent to Daniel. You remember this? And he said, oh, you know, I had to, the prince of Persia came and, you know, he had to fight with him to get this message through. That's in Daniel 10, 12 through 14. I want you to realize that Michael and Satan have come into conflict before this, okay? But Jude is now telling a separate thing, and he's saying that even when Michael, and get this, he said, the archangel. There's not multiple archangels. There's just one. The archangel Michael. He knew better than to get in a word war with the enemy. He just said, hey, the Lord rebuke you. Now, we'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But do you remember Steve teaching a couple of weeks ago on the brass serpent? I want to reference that for just a minute, because what happened was they had began to complain, the children of Israel, against Moses and against Aaron, like, you know, things, we're starving, we should have stayed where we were. I want you, the enemy's tricks are so limited all the time. You should have, if you'd have stayed here, go back to this, revert back to that. Isn't that one of his big tricks, right? Man, if you just go do this for a little while, you know, you'd have peace. You're never going to have peace outside of God. What you're going to get is a price tag. But outside of God, you're never going to have just pure peace. It doesn't cost you something. So they complained, and so God sent these little vipers to come out, poisonous snakes, and they bit them. So then, once they're bit, they go and like, now God save us. I mean, we're so the same. We're so the same. Once we get in trouble, oh God, you know, then you want him to help you. So God said to Moses, hey, I want you to make a bronze serpent, and bronze in the Bible is always symbolic of judgment, okay? So, you know, when, who was the crazy one? Nebuchadnezzar, you know, there's these bronze chains that were put on them, or sometimes in the outer courts, the menorah was made of gold, and the ark was made of gold, but other things were made of bronze to show that to get through the judgment, you have to be purified. So anyway, it was bronze, and he said, put it on a pole. Now, that represents to us today that Jesus, you need Jesus. There's got to be a sacrifice. There's got to be something to come in where there was this dark thing. There's got to be something alive. And if they would look at it, they would be healed. Well, you know, you think, isn't that great? You know, they carried that around to remember God's faithfulness. But 690 years later in 2 Kings, we have the, I believe it's 18:3, we have the story of Hezekiah, and he comes in and he finds the children of Israel, they're now worshiping this thing. Instead of remembering God's faithfulness to heal them, and it was an act of God, they've taken the thing, stay with me, they've taken the thing that God provided for healing, and they're worshiping the thing instead of the Creator. And so he has to just tear this thing to pieces. And I share that little story with you because I think that a lot of times we get caught up and we begin to love the thing that God did instead of love God. And so we crave more things instead of craving him. So Jude's coming in. Remember, he's coming in and he's telling us, hey, in the first part of Jude, this is a truth that is worth fighting for. Then he gives us in verse 4 through 6, there's a warning. There's some false teachers. Now, 2 Peter taught the false teachers, and the word is apostate. We studied that. These apostates are coming. And now Jude's saying they've arrived. They're here. All right? And so the battle begins now because these guys are here. The battle begins the same way it started with Satan. There's three things. Satan did not want to submit to God's authority. There was a subconscious pull in Satan to lift himself up and to magnify himself because of his beauty and his talents, because he forgot they came from God and he took credit for him himself. Boy, isn't that a lesson for us? Every talent, every gift, everything I have comes from him. And when I get into the place in my subconscious where I think I've done something, watch out. And the third thing where the battle begins is we become subject to our affection. The enemy loved himself. He loved himself more than he loved God. And because of that, that's where our battle begins today. We have a submission to God's authority. We have a subconscious pull to outthink God, to know better than God. And we have to be careful because we are subject to our affections. And people can take place for our affection for God. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, the promise made when I'm in love, and because I'm in love, to be true to the beloved as long as I live, commits me to being true even if I cease to be in love. Do you understand that? Because maybe you have to read it a couple of times. But what he's saying is, if you commit and you're in love and you make that commitment when you're in love, then you got to commit and stay with it to your beloved, whether you feel like you're in love or not. And for some reason, the world wants you to think that your emotions can determine your direction. Your emotions are liars if it's not lined up with the Word of God. So that's why we have to submit to what he says. So now, if you'll turn to page 733, we're going to look at this passage from Luke. And I want to share this because the part where Michael says, you know, the Lord rebuke you, he's recognizing that it's only through the power of the Lord that we can overcome. So I want to just quickly share this with you because of this passage. I think a lot of people give the enemy way too much credit. The only way he's going to have victory over you is if you agree with what he says, because what you believe, you'll act on. And if you believe that he's got more power, you'll start fear, you'll start worry, you will get in agreement, and you will run physically or in your mind and become less in faith with God and more in agreement with the enemy. It's just a fact. But I want you to see here, we're going to look on page 733 at Luke 9, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and stay there until you leave that town. I went through verse 4. But now I want you to turn over just one page to chapter 10, and I want to read verse 17 through 20. So he sent them out. Our women's ministry has really been taking this to heart, that he sent them out two by two. And here's what happens once he sent out the 70. He's getting the reports back now from them. Now, these are their reports, which is our witness of what happened when they obeyed Jesus. And the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Okay, in your name. Because now Jesus is, he's alive, the Messiah's walking the earth, okay? And he replied, Jesus, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This is important because it lets you know this isn't a vision he's had. He was there when God kicked him out. And he wasn't his brother. He was the Son of God. And he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So here's the reason. People get this thing about, you know, we got the power. You know, we got the authority. And I don't want anybody to feel guilty if you fall and pray to this. Steve and I were talking the other day about, you know, people who mean well. They really love the Lord, but they just don't know his word. Or they know his word, but they don't know his character. Right? You understand the difference? Because somebody who is a love, somebody who is passionate, somebody who has compassion would never just run from you. They would always be looking for the reason to save you. But there's a lot of people, and I think they mean well. I just think they were raised wrong. I just think they were raised in, legalism, works, or your salvation. And so I'm not mad at people, you know, but they're wrong, right? Are you with me on that? And so I remember, you know, when we were, we're not old, when we were younger in ministry, there was this thing where, you know, we would you know, talk with other ministers, and we would kind of go, oh, remember in the old days when they'd be like, hang on, let loose, hang on, let loose, you know, and you're at the altar and you're trying to figure out which one to do, you know, but people meant well, right? Well, I want you to know that you are not under a curse because of what your ancestors did. You are not under a curse because of what you did. I'll stop there and say this. Unless you get in agreement with the enemy and you believe that there's flaws in God's plan for his blood that covers all sin. If you want to get in agreement with that, you'll walk under a curse, all right. But if you want to believe that what he said, when I give you the power to overcome and they're going to submit to you and these guys are going, they're like, wow, this thing really works. Because it's in his name, not in our authority. And, you know, in Kentucky, there's these snake handlers, and they bring the snakes up in their face and, you know, do all this stuff. And I think some of them let them bite them, you know, so that they can prove that how you prove your holy. Guys, that's just ridiculous, okay, because the Lord says don't tempt him. I'm not going to go out to West Texas and lay down in a bed of scorpions, and I ain't going to do it on no TV show either for no amount of money, you know. Lay there and let these things climb on me just to prove God's faithful. I want to tell you, God is proving to you every day that he's faithful because you're still here. Because you're fighting and you're struggling and you're trusting him more than the enemy. And because we're learning his word, you're getting the strength in you and the truth in you to combat these lies where he wants you to worship him, give him credit that he's doing more than he can do. And you need to remember, he got kicked out. His authority was stripped off him, okay? So here's the difference. If I'm working at a store, let's say I own this store. I'm going to own the store. And so there's somebody that comes in, and they say, well, I've worked here alongside you. I deserve what you have. You aren't giving me it. I need to take this store. I'm like, well, no, because, you know, my store. And they're like, well, we're just, and I'm like, look, we can't have this because you are going to cause problems. You're causing strife and division. You're going to lose your job. Now, I want you to take what you brought in today and get out. You're not taking anything with you. Get out. Okay? So let's just say that person is coming across, and to every customer that starts to come, they're walking in front of my store. I'm going to ruin your business. I'm going to ruin your business. Continually telling me that. And I'm like really tired of it. And I know that everyone, before they come in that store, before they get what they need from that store, they're having to hear, they're unfair. You should see, oh, she's not fair. Look what she did. If she was good, if she was fair, well, I'm the owner of the store. I don't have to worry about him because I know that he's a liar and everything he says is a lie and that he's an accuser, right? So once those people who know me, they aren't going to quit coming to that store if they know that I'm ideal fair. It's worth it to go through the na-na to get to the help. So the only thing that's going to stop people from coming and get what they need from me is if they believe him and his words that he can't back up with proof instead of the truth because they come in and get what they need. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because the enemy is only accusing God and standing there saying, ah, he can't. Well, if he really loved you, he'd do. Well, how come this happened? And, you know, why did that happen? And the truth is, before Jesus, even Michael knew just to say, the Lord rebuke you. I'm not going to deal with this. And I'm sharing this because I think sometimes this, give me some grace and mercy on this, but I think sometimes it just feels so good to be the one to bind the devil. It just feels good. Come on. You know, I bind you, Satan. I cast you down into the... It just feels good. You feel like you're really doing something. Well, I want to tell you, I believe wherever your faith is, God will meet you. And I believe all those people, when I was growing up, and those people we talk about, hang on, let loose, you know, hold tight to the word of God. Oh, just cast your care. And you're like, they mean well. And I believe God still meets them where their faith is. I believe that. But I believe that I want you to know the truth, because the truth's going to set you free. And all you have to do is what Jesus said to the Spirit is, shut up. Well, I don't like that phrase. I think that's kind of rude, but let's just call it what it is. He said, I don't want to hear your noise, right? Just shut up and come out. And so I think that's a thing that we have to remember. Don't play these games that you have the power and you have the authority. If you're being tormented and tortured, you just, when you get ready to go to sleep, you just say, you know what, God, I can't handle this. I'm a creature, just like the enemy's a creature. He doesn't have any more power than I do because of the blood of Jesus. He cannot touch me. But tonight, I just need to rest. I just need to sleep. So, Lord, I'm going to ask you to visit me in my dreams. I'm going to ask for that hedge of protection. I'm going to ask for you, Lord, to be my guard. I'm going to ask for you to post angels around me tonight, that they will encamp around me so I can sleep and I can rest, because my body, your body, my body responds. If you don't shut that up, it'll respond. And then the enemy's like, look what I did. So no, we don't want to be a part of that. So what is faith? The simple answer is faith is believing God. Okay? So Jude's letting you know, these are apostates. These are people that they take a little bit of truth, but they've added to it. Or they make you dependent on them for the truth. And he described them as wolves in sheep's clothing. So basically, guys, these are going to be somebody who makes themselves appear that they're your friend. Oh, listen, I know what you're going through, and here's what you, I tried that stuff. Here's what you really need to do. Well, you know, the reason that you're not at peace, you know, remember what it was like, you know, just enjoy a little bit of this, you know, earthly stuff, and boy, didn't that really make it? Well, hey. It may have made it for you, but didn't you become its prisoner? Because the Word will set you free and you won't be dependent on Him for your happiness. You can walk in happiness. But there's some faith plus factors. Because I can say, well, I have faith. You know, I have faith that my kids are going to walk when they're little. I had faith that every one of them at one point. You didn't show them how to start pulling up. They just do it and go, oh, they pulled up today. Oh, they rolled over for the first time. Oh, you know, they're walking with the table. Oh, this is, right? So with it, there is a natural, innate something in you that pulls to believe that there's going to be an answer. There's something in you that wants to believe there's good in people, that there's hope for you. There's that thing that He's put in us because it's Him. It's Him. So faith has some plus factors. Number one, you have to believe that God exists. James 2:19. You got to believe that. If you don't believe that God exists, you'll never trust Him. If I don't believe that, you know, there's an inheritance coming down the line, you know, I'm just going to freak out and do whatever. But if I believe there's an inheritance, woo, thank you, Lord, right? The second thing is in faith, I have to commit to what I believe, James 1:26. It's like that little phrase from C.S. Lewis. Whether you feel like you're in love or not, whether you feel like you got faith or not, I'm staying committed because He's committed to me. The third thing with faith is that we have to believe it according to God's Word, and that's in Romans 4:3-4. And I'm going to read that to you out of the Passion Translation. It says, listen to what the Scriptures say. I'm tired of listening to what the enemy says. Listen to what the Scriptures say. Because Abraham believed God's words, his faith transferred God's righteousness into his account. He's looking at it like a bank account. When people work, they earn wages. It can't be considered a free gift because they earned it. But no one earns God's righteousness. It can only be transferred when we no longer rely on our own works, but believe in the one who powerfully declares the ungodly to be righteous in his eyes. It is faith that transfers God's righteousness into your account. Somebody once said that doubt is faith seeking understanding. I got faith, but I don't understand. It becomes doubt. And here's the thing about it, guys. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to shout it out. You're not going to wait it out. We need to just simply say to the Lord, God, I'm going to trust you on this. Now listen, there's been times I got mad, and I'm going to tell you I was in the flesh, and I'll admit it to you proudly. And there's been times, I'll admit it to you, I said proudly because I don't want you to be ashamed, because we all fall into these traps. But you know what? There's times when I'm praying with people and I can see where their faith level is and where it isn't. Okay? And, you know, there's times when they're just so full of panic and fear that you have to come in and just say, peace be still. You know, you have to go to that place to get their attention. But I don't believe that I have to beg or command the devil to let go of somebody that's blood bought, because the same way that person outside of my store does not have a title deed, they do not possess my store because it's owned outright. So no demon can possess me. And I believe as long as my children, and they're adults now, but I'm claiming it over my grandkids, if they're mine, nothing can touch them. Because they're in the bloodline, till they're the age where they can accept it for themselves. How many of you in here have fought for your relatives, your kids, your spouse, your, come on. Yeah, we have to do that. But I don't believe that we have to beg. I don't believe that we have to plead. I don't believe that sweat has to run down you for 3 hours and you fast for a week to prove how holy you are, because it kicks it into high gear. I know that these things only come by prayer, right? I know that these things only come through Him, through making less of me and more of Him. But that's because I'm walking in my authority and I need to get back in agreement with His. So we have to believe according to God's word. While doubt is faith seeking understanding, faith understands doubt is seeking to destroy faith by human reasons. If you're trying to reason something out, you're going to be tormented. I just gave you a beautiful thing to help you. If you're trying to figure things out, you're going to be tormented, because the truth is in the Word, where He says that our wisdom is as foolishness to Him. And don't you feel kind of like you're just trapped in foolishness sometimes? Let's come out of that. Let's know the Word. Let's trust it out instead of figuring it out. Let's surrender. I'm going to tell you what faith does not exempt us from. Ready? Faith does not exempt us from trouble. I want to give you some clues what faith is not, because this isn't in the Word, and yet I see where we're weak and we don't know the Word. And then if you can get the enemy, like these apostates, these people who came with a little truth and added to it. Guys, it's like anything in the news. Prove it to me. What's your source? I want to know how we know it's true, and I want to know the source is an honest person. I want evidence that this is the truth. And sad that we're at that place in our country, but we are. So faith does not exempt us from trouble. The Word says in the world you're going to have trouble. Faith is not a strand of garlic to keep away evil, or a lucky rabbit's foot to bring you favor. Ooh, he's a faith man. He's wearing $2,000 suits. I don't have anything to do with it. Faith does not make you more holy than somebody else. I got more faith than you, because the Bible says we've all got a measure of faith. And really, I mean, if I'm looking from heaven, I'm thinking that the person who recognizes there's the weakest is the strongest person in heaven, because they're humble before the Lord and He can get them help, and He's just going to let the others come to an end of themselves before they'll receive help. Faith tested becomes a testimony that validates His power through your trust. My trust is validated. Faith is the anchor to remain constant when all hell is breaking loose around you. Because you got to remember, I know the store owner. I have part interest in heaven. I'm going to inherit. I have this legacy. I'm His. I'm inheriting this. I'm not going to sell out what he's given me because somebody's threatening me with what's going to happen if I don't do what they say. They don't have possession. You do. Don't let the enemy tell you you're up to whatever he does to somebody else. Because I want to tell you this. There's a powerful thing that God has given us called forgiveness. And when I operate in forgiveness, I am less of me and more of him. And the phrase, guys, that has been helping me so much is to say, this is plan A. This is plan A. The enemy wants you to think there's a plan B and that something happened that slipped you out from under God's coverage or slipped you out from under God's watch or got, oh, now this, you're into plan B, so mate, you better have plans. When I was a child, I was taught, you plan for the worst and hope for the best. I mean, my dad lived by that. And so I thought that's how I should do it. That's contrary to the word. Wow. So here I come in now, and I'm trying to believe God for the best. I'm trying to believe him that the things that he's doing are plan A. This morning I go to pick up the Panera Bread. This woman's in there, she's loading her car with it. And I'm mad. I'm hacked, okay? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, oh, I got kids needing that bread. What is wrong? And the lady goes, you know, and she's tried to be there earlier than me and do this before. So, you know, I just told her, hey, you know, whatever. And she's got a worthy cause. I won't mention it, but they're worthy. I love them, but take a turn. So she sees, boy, she's loading that car. So when I get out of the car, I'm looking at her. And she goes, tell me her cause again. I'm taking this to them, and I'm not giving you any. Which let me know she knew she was wrong. And I'm in shock. And the whole time I'm thinking, plan A, plan B, do I need to set her straight? Do I need to fight? You know, I mean, this is going through my head. And so I'm like, bless her, give it to her. Bless her, give it to her. And I'm like, she doesn't deserve it. She's a thief. So I just said, I did. I said, okay. And I believe I said, well, bless you. And I just walked in the store and went to the manager. I went, hey, what's the deal? She goes, what? I was like, I just pointed. She goes, oh, that lady's been coming in here and doing that. And on Saturday got three of them trying to come in here and take the food. And, you know, the food's already, who they donate to is already scheduled. And she said, you know, people are just catching on this. And she said, from now on, I'm going to put it behind the counter because we know who you are. And we'll, and I was like, oh, Jesus, thank you. I'm telling you, y'all better pray over that Panera. If you're enjoying eating, y'all need to start praying up at her. Let's believe God for that, okay? But when I got in the car to go back, it was all over me again. I've been cheated. I drove all the way from Halton. I've been cheated, you know? And I was just like, I could have slept another hour. You know, all these things about me. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing with the process? About me. And then I heard plan A. And I said out loud, plan A. And such joy came over me. I was like, oh, that one. See, if you will not get in agreement with the enemy that there's a plan B and something slipped by God, if you'll say this plan A, because it's going to bring God glory. It's plan A. Because I want to tell you something. When I went into that manager, I said, listen, I am so sorry. I don't want to cause you any problems. You guys have been so great to us. I just want you to know I'm appreciative, and I even hate to mention this. She goes, no, I'm glad you told me. I'm slicing bread. I didn't see her. And I'm like, you know, so do you want me to make badges that, you know, say we're here to pick up the Panera and you can give it to those people? I'll give that to you so anybody would know that. No, don't you worry about it. I'm going to go to the general manager, and I'm going to get a list and blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I believe that we do nice things for them to show them our appreciation, and I try to buy things from them to show them our appreciation. And the truth is, I believe how I handle that is a greater witness because I'm from a church and she knows it than the person who's with the who's not a church, okay? So that's going to speak to her, the fact that I'm not mad, I'm not upset. You know, I'd rather that person not be a thief. I'll just give it to them, right? So that the thing is, though, the beauty of the battle is validation of his power in us and not rejection of us. Every trial that you go through is validation, because your faith needs to be tried to be put into action. Because what you believe, you're going to follow. If somebody tells you, you'll never accomplish that, quit trying. You can't be that. That's just people telling you who you are. Well, hello, they're telling you who you are. Why are you letting them define you? Right? So why? That's an enemy-sent word to get you to deny that God can, that God will, and even if he doesn't, I'm still in plan A. Man, if you just stay in plan A. So here's the thing, though. The second you decide, I'm going to turn this around for God. The second you decide, man, I'm going to get back on track and I'm going to find that and study that out if that's true. The second you decide, that's when the battle line is drawn, because the enemy sees it as a challenge to prove to God that you're not going to do what you say, and that's going to give him glory. Well, I just want to tell you something. I know that God is invincible according to Psalms 24:8. I know that God is on my side according to Psalms 56:9. I know that God's going to give me the strength and the skill to do what I need to do, even if I have to chew my tongue bloody like this morning, according to Psalms 144:1. And I know that according to Luke 10:3, that if he's sending me out, you know what he's sending me out with? Oh, you all are going to be like, power, authority. No, he's sending you out with vulnerability. We need to be vulnerable. He said, I don't want you to take a bag. I don't want you to take money. I don't want you to take no pillows. I don't want you to be taken care of. I want you to be vulnerable. Because he told them, there's going to be people that are going to treat you wrong on this journey. There's going to be people that are going to talk about you and mock you on this journey. But I want you to be vulnerable, because when I am unafraid of what the world can do to me, he is standing in defending me at all times. And I need to quit thinking I can do it. And hey, it just makes me feel so relieved when I say to myself, well, that was plan A. You know why? Because God, you're growing something in me. I'm going to mature from this. Because faith doesn't mean you don't have trouble. Faith doesn't mean there's favor in the way that some people say it. I absolutely, 100%, I believe I have favor. We're picking up the Panera for free 2 days a week. But I'm vulnerable to the good works of God in my life, because I'm not vulnerable to the world. I'm given the opportunity for the Father to take care of me and provide for me, that he'll get the glory and the witness from it. I want you to know what you're fighting for. The enemy is not after your money or your stuff. He wants your mind, your attitude, your heart, your faith, your peace. Understand that you're not being attacked over the tangible things in your life. You think it's about money. You think it's about relationship. You think it's about who passed you up on a job. It's not any of those tangible things in your life. The enemy is fighting you over the things you can't see. He wants your peace. He wants your trust. He wants your faith to be in him, aligned with him. And you have to say, no, I only got plan A, and you can't mess it up. You're only going to prove who he is and validate that my faith is in the right place. Everybody has faith in something. It's the object of our faith that makes the difference. See, the atheist says Christians have faith, but we have science. Well, crazy person, that only means you have faith in science. Right? Because everybody has faith in something. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, we appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not in their place of battle. That we're not looking at what the battle is about. The battle is about helping one another get through. Because if you're helping somebody else, you're going to be getting help. He says, be skilled at gently encouraging those who feel themselves inadequate. Be skilled. How am I skilled? I go to the Lord and he gives it to me. He shares with me what I need. Be faithful to stand your ground. He doesn't say plow the ground. He didn't say plant the seed. He didn't say shoot everything that moves. He says to stand. Because when I stand, I'm saying I'm just dependent on God. Well, you know, you're a sitting duck. Quack, quack. I'm trusting him. If he tells me to move, I'm going to move. But right now, I'm standing. Help the weak to stand again and be quick to demonstrate patience with everyone. Whether the decision to trust God is in the Bible, because you know you need to, whether it's something intuitive that you just think, I just need to let this go, or whether it's just a mark of your genuine faith, stay faithful to God. This is what Jude is saying. Don't try to fight these battles. He's already fought them with Gabriel. He's already fought them with Jesus. He's already fought them with Michael. You just stand and see the salvation of God. So what are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? Some days I think I'm fighting for my sanity. Right? Some days I think I'm fighting for my kids. Some days I think I'm fighting for you. But I'm asking you tonight, what are you fighting for? Don't wait for me to pray for you. You start praying for me. And if you pray for me and I'm praying for you, we're going to be able to withstand. But it's when you don't believe that you have any power and authority that you'll say, well, I'm not as good as Michael. You know, he's so faithful on Wednesday. He's the one who always gives out the notes. He's filling in. And if somebody's not there to take up the offering, he does. I couldn't do that. I'm not as... No, stop that. God, I'm here. I want to be used by you because you said I am who I am because of you, not because of Michael's standard or Gay's standard or Josh's. I'm who I am because of you set the standard. And guys, if he wants to use you, quit letting the enemy tell you you have nothing that's worth anything and stand up and just wait, ready in the position. God, when you see somebody at the grocery store and they're just weak and they're having a bad day, you can say, you know what? I've had a lot of bad days too. Can I help you carry that out? You're doing more damage to the kingdom of hell by standing in agreement with God's word. And I'm telling you, you're not going to pour it out, but what it's not going to come back on you. God is faithful. So we're going to just trust God tonight. You're not going to wait on me to pray for you. We're going to start praying for each other. And I'm going to leave you with this. There's four freedoms that you have as a believer that the world has warped. So when I'm sharing these four freedoms with you, the world has taken your four freedoms and they've warped them to mean something different, which is 101 classic, you know, the MO, modus operandi of the devil, to take whatever's God and change it. Here's your four freedoms. Number one, you have the freedom to be different. I want people to be different. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I have the freedom to be different than the rest of the world, and it's okay. But see, the world's saying, we can be different, but you can't because you're a Christian. You're bad. No, I have the freedom to be different. I have the freedom to be vulnerable. The world's telling you, don't be vulnerable. They'll take advantage of you. They'll get you. Well, guess what? If they're getting me, I got somebody protecting me. That means more power, more provision is going to come my way. Because his word says when I'm weak, he's strong. His word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up. I got a whole lot more going for me when I'm in trouble than when I'm not. I have the freedom to be vulnerable. Well, you know, I'm in this relationship and I'm not going to let you get me anymore. Really? Then you just set the standard over your home that you can handle pain. How's that been working? Third thing, we have the freedom to be candid. Not to be cruel, not to be judgmental, but to be candid. If somebody came to you and said, hey, you know, we're all going out. We're going to have margaritas. It's happy hour. It's half. I'm going to give you, you know, I'll pay for yours. Let's go out. It's been terrible. That woman at work, she's awful. Let's go out and just tie on a couple. I get to be candid and say, you know what? I don't drink. thanks for the invitation. Y'all want me to come out and have coffee with you? I'll go. You can drink and I'll have coffee. And if you're not strong enough, then you say, you know what? I can't do that because I'm weak in that area. Be candid. Be honest. You don't have to make them look bad, but you don't have to feel bad because you're standing up for the truth. And you have the freedom to make mistakes. Oh, we all make mistakes. What they're really saying to you in the world is, bypass a savior. You're getting under the covered policy because it was just a mistake. I have the freedom to make mistakes because I'm learning about him the same way an infant can fall 50 times before they finally learn how to walk away from the coffee table and let loose and take a step. Because I'm growing in God. But my mistakes are the reason I turn to him, not the reason I'm independent from him. So don't take the freedoms that God has given you and let the world turn it around and use it as the reason why you don't need him. Because we need him. And I'm trusting you to be vulnerable. I'm trusting you to love people that don't love you. I'm trusting you to recognize that the devil is a liar. He's a creature. He's created. He is not the creator. And I'm trusting you to know that the power of God in you is what keeps the bullseye on your back. But guess what? He covers your back. Because in Ephesians, there's no armor for the back. Because he got you. You're not vulnerable to the enemy. We're vulnerable to God. We're going to trust him more. Amen? Stand with me tonight. Next week, what we're going to do, now that he's done that, he's going to go into three specifics of three areas where there's trouble. And we're going to go over those next week with Cain, Balaam, and then he goes into... Oh, I thought somebody was really up there. I was like, oh, that's so beautiful. And then Korah. But tonight, here's what I want to do. Is there a place where you can say, you know what? I know I've hardened my heart. I know I've thought God is not going to help me because I doubt him too much. Is there a place tonight where you're saying, you know, I want to step back, but it seems like every time I make that step towards God, I get in trouble? Is it not clear to you tonight that that's showing you that the enemy recognizes you're advancing? Because if you weren't, he wouldn't want you. Tonight, I want us to just pray, Lord, in your presence, according to your word, I just make myself vulnerable. God, I don't enjoy those people that take advantage. I don't enjoy, God, fear. I don't enjoy, God, worry. I don't enjoy any of those things, God. And I'm asking you now, God, to bring your sweet peace over me. I'm making my heart vulnerable to you, God, because I know that you're the only way I'm going to get set free. God, if you've got me in this place where I feel I'm just trapped, I want right now for you to show me the different view that heaven sees. I want you to show me, God, that there, give me that confidence, God, that even though I can't see it, I can trust you with an answer. Give me that peace, God. Lord, I trust you tonight. And I'm going to act on your word where you say for me to be still and you'll fight for me. God, I am marked up from trying to figure this out. And tonight I'm going to rest and let you and the devil have it out. And I'm just going to sleep. I just thank you right now, Lord, for your peace over your people. God, those that we're praying for, those that we're believing for, I just thank you tonight, God, that they will come to know you and they'll come to know the truth of you and not just a version of you, but the truth of you. And God, I pray that if there are those tonight, God, who are caught up in things and who feel like they can handle it, by mercy, let them feel the full weight of that so they'll run away from it, God, before they're destroyed. Thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you for your grace tonight. Thank you for the provision of a risen Savior over each one of us. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He's working it. Yeah, no bread.